chapter 19 and verse 26. And by the way, these Bibles are at the back table, so if you haven't got a Bible, they're free to take one, so help yourself. Okay, Matthew chapter 19, verse 26 says, "But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, and I'm glad that you're all here today. And once again, I want to say a very special happy Mother's Day to everyone that's here. And we're not just celebrating mothers here today, but we're actually honoring motherhood. And so maybe you don't have any kids, but you've been a mother to others, and maybe somebody that needed a mother figure in their life, and you've taken on that role. So we're honoring here today you as well. And so this is what we do for Mother's Day. We have muffins with mothers. And so if you have time, please stick around because we've got a lot of muffins back there. So you can have two, okay, or three or four. So make sure you grab a muffin and before you leave here today, so we can just a tangible way we can just honor you here today. Now, we started last Mother's Day. We thought about, hey, we'll just go through the Bible and look at all the mothers in the Bible, or at least some of the famous mothers in the Bible. And so we looked at Eve last time, and today we're going to be looking at the life of Sarah. And one of the things that we know about Sarah is that she laughed. And so we're going to look at the laughter of Sarah here this morning as she moves from doubt to delight. And so today is Mother's Day, and we're going to continue that series on the famous mothers in the Bible. And Sarah is probably one of the most well-known mothers in the Bible, maybe other than the mother of Jesus. And the reason for that is because she was the wife of Abraham and also the mother of Isaac. And so as you open up your Bibles to Genesis, if we would, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we open up our sermon portion of the events today. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. And Lord, as we open up your word and we study it and we look at the life of Sarah here, and Lord, we see that she laughs, and so that's something we want to pick up on here today, and we want to look at the reasons why she laughed. And Lord, I pray that you would guide us, Lord, and direct us as we open up your truth here today. Lord, help us to understand the laughter even in our own lives, Lord, as we think about you and your promises here today. And we ask, God, that you bless our service here today. And thank you for all of our moms. And I pray that you would give them wisdom as they continue on with their motherhood, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would keep your hand on them and keep them safe. And we ask it all in Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Everyone likes to laugh, right? Everybody likes to laugh. At least most people that I know, they like to laugh, and I love being around people who laugh. I don't have a very good laugh. I mean, my laugh is kind of boring, you know, I'll be honest with you. But man, I like to get around some people who have these great laughs, you know, these nice big belly roll laughs, you know what I'm talking about. Or Val's got a good laugh. I love being around. When she gets to start cackling, man, she's just like, you know, it's just amazing. I just love being around her because it just sort of puts a smile on everybody's face. You know, you've got those laughs that are sort of contagious, you know what I'm talking about? I'm looking at you right now. You're thinking about it right now because I can see a smile on most of your faces out here. You know, you've got that one person you just love to be around because they just laugh and they just giggle. Man, it's great. I love being around people like that, and because it just sort of lifts my spirit. They say laughter is good for the soul, and the Bible even speaks of laughter as good medicine. And so if you need some good medicine, maybe get in a situation where you can laugh a little bit. So with that in mind, let me share some principles of motherhood that every mom needs to know. And I've sort of reduced it down to five here, all right? So you ready? I'll wait. That's okay. All right, you ready? All right. Number one, if motherhood were going to be easy, it would have never started with something called labor. Look, it's right there. I mean, you asked for it, right? Any child can tell you that the sole purpose of the middle name is so he can tell when he's really in trouble. How many mothers and fathers out there wore out those middle names, right? That's not something my mom ever did. She never got to that point where she called me out by my middle name, and I guess it's probably because I was a very good, compliant child. So we never got to that point. Number three, there are three ways to get something done. Do it yourself, hire somebody else to do it, or forbid your kids from doing it. Right? I mean, come on, Mom. I won't ask you to raise your hands. Your kids may be here. But it's like, you know, you go, you tell your kids, don't do this. You go and forbid them from doing it. What do? Just go right to it. I mean, try this when you get home. Forbid your kids to go and take out the garbage right then and there. You know, forbid your kids to go and mow the lawn this weekend. Don't you dare touch that lawnmower, right? See what happens. See how that goes for you and let me know. Number four, there are only two things a child will share willingly. Communicable diseases and his mother's age. And number five, last but not least, an alarm clock is a device for awakening people who don't have small children. And I'll even add to that, or maybe don't have neighbors who have small children, right? Look, we all laugh for different reasons. There are a number of reasons why we sometimes laugh. Most of us laugh because it's something that's funny. We laugh at things that are funny. But occasionally, we sometimes, there's some people that laugh when they get a little bit nervous. And that's the way they sort of cover up the nervousness as they go and laugh. Some laugh whenever they hear something that maybe seemingly is impossible. You know, they're like, oh, yeah, right. You know, they just laugh at something that may be seemingly impossible. Or maybe some people that are maybe grieving. And sometimes they laugh. I mean, you might be surprised the number of funerals you go to, and you may have some people out there that are kind of laughing. The reason is they're not trying to be disrespectful. It's just that's just the way they process grief, and so they laugh. And so, have you ever laughed at anything that seemed impossible? Somebody goes and tells you something, you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, right. You know, you laugh at that. It's not a joyful laughter, maybe even a little bit of a nervous laughter, depending on what it is. Well, that's where we begin with Sarah. And perhaps if we're honest, that's maybe where many of us may begin as well, especially when it comes to the things of God. Today we turn to Sarah, a woman who laughed more than once, but not always for the same reason. In her story, we discover three kinds of laughter that will still echo in our lives here today. First of all is the laughter of doubt. The laughter of doubt. If I can get on the screen, there we go. There are three things we need to understand about laughter of doubt here this morning. First of all, I want you to understand that God's promises are sure. God's promises are sure. God always keeps his promise. We actually begin with Abraham here because God promises to Abraham first. And so God had promised him many years before that he would have a son. And even before Abraham left for the land of Canaan, God told him that he would make him into a great nation. And we see that in Genesis chapter 12. It says, now the Lord has said to Abram, Abram is the name that was given that Abraham had before he turned to Abraham. God changed his name to Abraham. Abram means exalted father, but Abraham means the father of many nations. That was his name as part of this covenant. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. Notice that. He is going to make Abraham a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And later on, God confirmed his covenant with Abraham, and that a son that was going to be from his own body, that was going to be his heir. In Genesis chapter 15, in verse 4, there we go. It says, and behold, hang on, what's happened to my, there we go. Sorry about that. My glasses is hard to read that from this angle. Genesis chapter 15, verse 4 says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one will come from your body shall be your heir. Here he was thinking about, hey, I'm not going to have any kids, but I've got a servant, and his name is Eleazar. So he was thinking, you know what? I'll just let God's promises be with him, and he will be my heir, and I'll just give everything to him. He will be my son, if you will. And then he brought him outside and said, look now towards heaven and count the stars if you were able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. There's only one problem with this, and that is that Sarah, his wife, was barren. She wasn't able to have kids. So Abraham had determined that Eleazar, his servant, would be his heir, but the Lord promised him that he would have a child from his own body. And so the years went by, and both Abraham and Sarah sort of struggled with this promise of God from time to time. In fact, even at one point, Sarah even had Abraham sleep and lie with her maidservant Hagar so that she could claim a son with Abraham through Hagar. Hagar gave birth to a son named Ishmael, but that didn't work out so well. Abraham was 86 years old when he was when Ishmael was born, and then 14 years later, God appeared to Abraham and reaffirmed his covenant with him. And Genesis chapter 17, verse 15, it says, "And then God said to Abraham, 'As for Sarah, your wife, you shall call her name, not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name.'" Now, the word, the name Sarai actually means my princess, something that's very specific, and the princess maybe of a household, if you will. But then they're going to change her name to Sarai, which means princess or noble woman. And she is going to be a noble woman or a princess of a nation or a kingdom, if you will. And so it's expanding her. And notice here that she is going to become part of this covenant that God had arranged here with Abraham. "And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old and Sarah, who is 90 years old, bearing a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." Then God said, No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him, and I will make him fruitful, and I will multiply him exceedingly. He shall begot 12 princes, and I will make of him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year." Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Did you catch Abraham's reaction here? Abraham, the father of faith, when he heard this news, he fell down on his face and laughed. He laughed. Will a son be born to a man who's 100 years old, and will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Are you serious? He laughed. It was a laughter of doubt. Just like it will be with Sarah, who would do the same thing in the next chapter. Abraham even tried to switch God's promise over to Hagar's son, Ishmael. If only Ishmael might live under your blessing. But God confirmed his promise to Abraham, saying, "Your wife will bear you a son, and you will call his name Isaac." God even gave him a time frame. He says, "My covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will be born to you by this time next year." Listen, God always keeps his promises. He always keeps his promises. When the Israelites finally settled into the promised land many years later, Joshua told the people in Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14, "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your heart and in all your soul that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. God promised that he was going to do certain things for us, and Joshua is now telling them, hey, look, it's taken place, it's happened. God's word is true. He hasn't failed us. And in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, it says, by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. God confirmed his covenant with Abraham. My covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. And when we talk about laughter of doubt here, we must remember, first of all, that God always keeps his promises. God's promises are sure. Secondly, we see that God's power is supreme. God's power is supreme. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. For this, we turn to Abraham's laughter to Sarah's laughter. It was shortly after God appeared to Abraham when the Lord visited Abraham again through the visitation of three men or angels who appeared in his tent. Abraham brought them some food, and they had a conversation with him. And in Genesis chapter 18, and verse 9, it says, "Then they said to him, 'Where is Sarah, your wife?' And he said, 'Here in the tent.' And he said, 'I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son.'" Now, Sarah was listening in on the tent door, which was behind them. And Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age. And Sarah had passed the age of a childbearing age. Some ladies that are maybe sort of in their late 30s or maybe early 40s kind of know what's going on here. They sort of feel like, you know, they've got that pressure. They need to have a child soon because they're going to pass those childbearing years. But notice what happened. Sarah's already past that. Notice her reaction here. It says, "Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have the pleasure of my Lord being old also?' And the Lord said to Abraham," why did Sarah laugh, saying, "shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90, plus she was barren. Even in her prime of life, she wasn't able to have kids. She was barren. So when she overheard the angel telling Abraham that she would have a son by this time next year, she found herself laughing in disbelief. She doubted the word of the Lord. She thought she was just laughing to herself, but of course, the Lord knew that. The Lord knew that she had laughed. And the angel goes and asks Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, "Will I really have a child now that I am old?" And then he goes and asks a question, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" Man, what a great question that is. That's a question we can even ask ourselves here today. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer to that is no. There is nothing that is too hard for the Lord. We read in Jeremiah, he says, "Sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you," in Jeremiah 23:17. Jeremiah says there's nothing too hard for you. Once you've created the universe, nothing else is really that difficult in comparison, is it? Mary, the mother of Jesus, understood this when the angels came to her and told her that she would give birth to a son, and she didn't doubt the angel's word, but she was sort of curious as to how it would all take place and how it would happen. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 34, it's this, "Then Mary said to the angel, 'Can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. for with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. The angel departed from her. Sarah was 90 years old and barren. Mary, she was a young woman and she was a virgin. Both seemed like impossible situations, and yet God fulfilled his promise to both of them. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. We struggle with what we cannot control, whether it be our health or whether it be our timing or outcomes. But God, who created the universe, is not limited by biology. He's not limited by age. He's not limited by circumstances. What looks impossible to us is ordinary to him. But we also see God's punishment for skepticism. As we talk about the laughter of doubt, we need to remember that there is nothing funny about disbelief. There's nothing funny about disbelief. Whenever Sarah realized that the Lord knew about her laughter, notice what happened. It says that she was afraid in Genesis chapter 18, verse 15, but Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh. For she was afraid. And he says, no, but you did laugh. You did laugh. Sarah lied because she was afraid. And she was afraid because she knew that there is nothing funny about doubting the Word of God. We read the following about disbelief in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. It says, Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We need to be aware of disbelief and having an unbelieving heart, because it can lead to a hardness of deceitfulness of sin. An entire generation of Israelites found out about this. They died in the wilderness because of their disbelief. Sarah doubted the Word of God. She doubted the Word of God, and then Sarah laughed and then denied it. Sarah's laughter reveals doubt, and doubt carries with it consequences. There's nothing funny about unbelief when it comes to questioning God's character. Like a child caught and doing something wrong, sometimes they'll try to laugh a little bit. And maybe I've seen parents sometimes when they go to discipline their kids are laughing, and it gets them laughing, and it sort of gets them off the hook. And so they begin to live life like that. Anytime they get in trouble, they go and try to laugh it off. We see that from time to time. They try to cover up that doubt they have. But unbelief questions God's character. That is why scriptures warn us about the hardness of hearts. Sarah laughed, God rebuked her, and then Sarah lied, and God rebuked her again. We may laugh in doubt, but there's nothing funny about disbelief. But we also see laughter of delight. Fortunately, Sarah's story doesn't end there, because we move from a laughter of doubt to a laughter of delight. There are three things here I want to mention concerning laughter of doubt here this morning. First of all, we may have favor that we don't comprehend. We may gain favor of God that we don't comprehend. In Genesis chapter 21, verse 1, it says, Now, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. God's favor and grace are undeserved. Our minds can never comprehend it. The Lord was gracious to Sarah. Sarah had laughed at God's promises in Genesis chapter 18. And in that chapter before that one, Abraham and Sarah actually lied about their relationship. They were traveling through an area, and they came across an ungodly king, and the ungodly king liked Sarah and wanted her to be part of his harem, if you will. And Abraham was afraid for his life because he thought maybe the king would kill him if they found out they were married. So he says, hey, no, we're brother and sister. They lied about their relationship. But this put God's promise in jeopardy, because Sarah could have become pregnant by somebody else. And God didn't fulfill his promise to Abraham and Sarah because they deserved his blessing. They just lied about it. But rather because he was gracious to them. This is true of all of God's blessings. When God chooses the nation of Israel to be his people, Moses reminded them in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7, the Lord did not set his love on on you, nor chose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage and from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And keep in mind, you know, this that God blessed them, and it wasn't because they somehow earned this privilege. It wasn't because they were doing the right things. In fact, they were into idol worship in Egypt, and even when they left Egypt and they were wandering around in the wilderness, they were taking their idols with them. It wasn't because they had somehow earned this privilege. It was because God loved them and he was faithful to his promise to them. This is especially true of the grace of salvation. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Notice that. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Jerry Bridges wrote rather insightfully, "Performance is the default mode of every human being. We think we have to do something in order to earn salvation. It's natural. It's part of our human nature. We feel like we've got to contribute. We've got to do something. But God does not accept us on the basis of our performance." Aren't you glad about that? Because I sure wouldn't make it. He doesn't accept us on the basis of our performance. He accepts us because of his own love and grace for us. God fulfilled his promise not because Sarah was perfect, but because he was gracious. And as such, he bestowed his favor upon her. Think of receiving a gift maybe that you felt like you didn't deserve, or maybe it was unearned, or you certainly can't repay it back. Think of that moment you felt that way. And you're like, "Wow, man, I'm so undeserving. I can't believe that somebody gave me a gift this way." Hey, listen, that's how it works with God. He blesses us out of his grace, not out of our performance. How are you this morning? How are you this morning? I oftentimes, when people come to church, I ask them, "How's your week? How are you doing? How are you this morning?" And I had a guy down south at a church. Every time I'd ask him this question, his answer was always the same. He would always say, "Better than I deserve." Better than I deserve. How do you know that? Better than I deserve. No matter what was going on in his life, better than I deserve. What a great answer. That is the correct answer. Do you want to know the laughter of God's blessing? Then know that God is gracious to you. Unmerited favor has been offered to you. God's grace is undeserved. But also we see a timing we can't control. In Genesis chapter 21, verse 6, it says, "And Sarah said, 'God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me.' She also said, 'Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age.'" God's blessings come in his timing. When Sarah tried to circumvent God's plan with Hagar and Ishmael, it only brought her trouble and it only brought disgrace. In fact, this is why we see a lot of fighting going on in the Middle East today. We can go right back to where it all began. It's right here. Sarah and Abraham, they try to get ahead of God. And when God's blessing came through Isaac instead of Ishmael, is part of the reason why we have all the conflict we have in the Middle East today. But she was filled with laughter and joy, it says. Don't settle for what the world can give you here this morning. Don't settle for what you can muster up on your own. Wait for God. Wait for God's blessing, because God's blessing is always best. In Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, it says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." What a beautiful passage that is for us. And in Proverbs 10, 22, it says, "The blessings of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." The verse doesn't say the rich are blessed of the Lord. It says, but the blessings of the Lord makes one rich. God's promises come in His time, not ours. And when He when His blessings arrive, listen, it's always perfect. It's always at the right time. Think about a child. Maybe some of you have had your children this morning want to go and bake you something that's very special here today. Maybe before you come to church, and maybe it's a little cake or something, and they go and they take all the time, and they make it, and they put it in the oven. And then when the house starts to get that aroma and that smell, boy, it's so tempting to go in there and have a go and have a taste, right? And the kids may even say, "Hey, I think it's ready. Mom, I can smell it. It must be ready. It must be ready." But we know that there's a certain time that has to stay in the oven. And before that, it won't be ready. It won't be right. Well, God's timing ensures that when the blessings come, it will be complete and it will be perfect and it will be in His timing. God's blessing brings true and lasting joy, and we need to be careful trying to access that before time, because we have a joy that we cannot contain. Sarah said, "God has made me laugh." This is much different from her previous laugh. Laugh of doubt. And it causes others to laugh with her. When God fulfills His word, the result is overflowing joy. Have you ever received some good news and, boy, you just can't keep it to yourself? You got to tell somebody else. That's the kind of joy that God gives us. The overflowing, contagious, undeniable joy. That's the laughter of delight. But also we have the laughter of dependence. We've looked at the laughter of doubt, we've looked at the laughter of delight, and now we come to the laughter of dependence. There are three things here I want us to learn about the laughter of dependence. First of all, it gives us a confidence in the future. Faith laughs at the days to come because it trusts that God will hold the future. He holds the future. For this, we move from Sarah, the laughing mother, to look at a different woman, and that's in Proverbs chapter 31. In Proverbs chapter 31, here we have a woman that's of noble character who fears the Lord. And we read about her in verse 25. It says, "Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come." When your faith is in God, you know that God is in control of all things. And so no matter how difficult life gets, no matter how uncertain the future may seem, you can laugh at the days to come. It is a bold, definite trusting laugh in the face of the unknown, because your God is not unknown. You know Him. You know His love for you. Your faith is in Him, and you can laugh at the days to come. You may not know what the future holds, but you know who holds the future. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." This is the laughter of faith here this morning. Like a seasoned sailor who trusts his ship in a storm, faith rests not in the circumstances, but in the one who controls those circumstances. Faith knows that God rewards those who earnestly seeks Him, so faith can laugh in the days to come. But also there's a commitment to trust. For this, we go all the way back to God's promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. Which we looked at earlier. God told Abraham to look up, count the stars, and in doing so, you will be able to count your descendants. And notice what it says about Abraham. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, it says, "And he believed in the Lord." He believed in the Lord. Faith chooses trust even when answers are absent. Faith chooses trust even when circumstances seem impossible. Remember, at this time, his wife was barren, and yet it says he believed God's promises. I don't know if you've ever had a situation where you've had to go and walk in the dark. Whenever we were little, we used to go camping, and sometimes we would be over where the unpowered sites were, and we had to get up in the night to run, make a toilet run, and you know, it's some sort of, as a little kid, it's hard to find our way there in the dark, and sometimes we're afraid that we're going to get lost, and so I would have a bigger brother or maybe my parent, they would come, and they would go and grab me by the hand, and they would walk me through the path. It doesn't matter that I can't see where I'm going. It doesn't matter if I can't see the path. I can trust in the one whose hand I am holding to lead me and to guide me. And that's the way it is with God. Sometimes we don't see the path that's before us, and we're kind of fumbling around in the dark. But if we're willing to hang on to the hand of God, he will lead us and he will guide us in the right direction, and we get credited righteousness as a result. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, if you look at the last bit of that, he says, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. The Apostle Paul elaborates on Abraham's faith in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 4, verse 18, it says, who, contrary to hope, notice that, who, contrary to hope, this is crazy, this is something that is beyond hope, but yet contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Notice what it says, and he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. And so we discover that these amazing things were written not just for the people in the past, but they were written for us who believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. This is the laughter of dependence here. We know that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. In faith, we are dependent upon him. Faith laughs at the days to come because of the joy and the hope that we have in our future. Faith in Christ is credited to us for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was accredited unto him for righteousness. And the same is true for us who believe in Christ. Like a debt paid by someone else, faith receives what we could never earn. Isaac was the promised son, but Jesus is the greater promised son. Isaac brought laughter to one family, but Jesus brings eternal joy to all who believe. God told Abraham to name his son Isaac because the name Isaac means he laughs. And so every time Abraham and Sarah spoke their son's name, they would be reminded of their own laughter before the Lord. Every time they spoke his name, they were reminded that God has the final word, not their doubt. These things were written for us in the past because these things are still true for us today. God still rebukes the laughter of doubt. He still bestows the laughter of delight. God still rewards the laughter of dependence. You may be living in doubt today, wondering if God's going to come through, but God has not forgotten his promise. One day your doubt will give way to delight, your questions to confidence, your tears to laughter as you depend upon God to keep his promises. Because when God speaks, he always gets the last laugh. He always gets the last laugh. Though this was a Mother's Day message, it wasn't just for mothers here this morning. The laugh that you laugh will demonstrate where you are in your relationship with God. So let me encourage each of us here today. Let's move from the laughter of doubt to delight as we show our dependence upon our God, because God will not lie. He will keep his promises. And so for our mothers here this morning, let me tell you, Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, and I hope that you have a life not filled with laughter of doubt, but I hope you have a life filled with laughter of delight as you depend upon your Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for all that you've done for us. And as we look at the life of Sarah, Lord, we can probably see a little bit of her in all of our lives. I know, Lord, there's been times in our lives where we've had laughter of doubt and also laughter of delight, Lord. But I pray that we will have that laughter of dependence as we depend upon you. And Lord, as you keep your promises as you said you would, Lord, I pray that we could take those promises to heart and we can live by faith as a result of that. And Lord, we pray that if there's some mothers here today, Lord, that maybe they're struggling for whatever reason, Lord, we pray that you would comfort their hearts. And so, Lord, we thank you for the wonderful opportunity we have to come and to celebrate mother and motherhood today. And we ask it all in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.